Tony, the polling in the horse race between Joe Biden and Donald Trump has been fairly static now for months and months. Let's set aside the candidate horse race and today talk about issues and where the candidates are positioned relative to how voters feel is their ability to deal with issues. What are we seeing? And we'll specifically reference a recent poll that was done by Rasmussen. What do we see overall as the issues that are most of concern to voters in this election?
Well, the biggest concerns to voters in the last year and a half that have really come to a head are immigration, inflation, the economy, as well as both crime and the war between Hamas and Israel. Those are the core issues that most Americans would list as their top priority. And those have been holding pretty steady over the last few years.
Interesting, when you ran through that list of issues here, Tony, I didn't hear you say concern about democracy, didn't hear you say anything about climate change or abortion. Are those issues not polling high outside the Democrat base?
They're really not polling high even inside the Democrat base. It depends on the region that you're in and what demographics you're looking at. Although the Biden-Harris campaign is certainly putting a lot of stock in running on the abortion issue, unless you're in the demographic that would be best quantified as a single woman with a college degree, it's really not a core issue for any other demographic in this country. And that's a very bold move for a political campaign to make, for sure. And climate change, unless you are Gen Z or perhaps the lower millennials, or again, in the single women with a college degree demographic, not going to be a top issue for that core group either. So realistically, again, immigration, the economy, inflation, crime, and international conflict, are those are at the most pressing point of voters' minds.
And taking a look at that issue set, which of the two candidates appears to be most favorably viewed by the electorate as being able to effectively deal with those issues?
Without a doubt. I mean, going away on these polls, it's former President Donald Trump. And it's not even one of these within the margin of errors, kind of close. There really is a situation in this double incumbent election, if you will, in which Trump is simply seen as more trustworthy on all of these issues.
You, of course, Tony, host a nightly radio program and you talk with your listeners. When you talk about inflation and the economy, are you still hearing from listeners? Are you still hearing with folks as you go around and talk at various events that this is still a problem for Americans at the kitchen table?
It's becoming the primary problem. We're at a point where we have more credit card debt that is allotted to standard purchases like groceries and rent than ever before in our nation's history. And that's not just in a gross sum, that's per capita. We're also seeing the inflation market come for kind of the corporate and the manufacturing sectors as well, so that it's diving deeper and deeper into the pockets of those on the job. And that is leading to a whole system and chain of events that's the number one issue that voters are very deeply concerned with. And the lack of a rate cut, which is always expected in the, you know, presidential election year, that's a very, very bad sign when Jerome Powell comes out and says, sorry, Biden, we can't touch it. Otherwise, everything will fall apart.
That is a very interesting point there. And illegal immigration. We have seen here, Tony, in the last couple of weeks, President Biden attempting to take some executive action, as he put it, to deal with that issue. Do you think that his efforts are going to gain any traction, or has the issue gotten so far away from Biden and the Democrats, there's no way to really reel it back in?
Yeah, the issue was far away from him a good year ago. When he initially came out and said he couldn't do anything, that basically set in stone that any future action he ended up taking would be pointless. But to come in the first day of his administration and celebrate openly all of the executive orders from the previous administration that he had revoked, rescinded, or altered, and then made a White House press statement bragging about the huge number of Trump immigration policies that he had reversed, he then sets himself up to be wholly accountable and responsible for everything that occurs regarding illegal immigration in comparison to the prior administration, which, again, as luck would have it, you might say, he is actually running against in this double incumbent. So it's not even a double or a triple whammy. It's almost a quadruple whammy for his administration at this point.
And does that also then segue into, you mentioned one of the key issues, crime and gun laws, et cetera. We have seen any number of incidents here in recent months of illegal immigrants, folks who are in this country, have come over that open border, who have committed just terrible crimes, murder, rape, et cetera, against our citizens. Does this play into the overall concern about crime in this country?
I mean, of course it does. We have enough crime issues in our big cities to contend with as it is without individuals who should not be here because they did not immigrate legally, like the millions in our country who are abiding by the laws and have since they applied for visas and citizenship. Unlike those individuals, the illegal immigration crew started their stay in the country with a crime, and a lot of these individuals that are committing heinous crimes, it's a double-edged sword, because not only is the crime that's being reported especially heinous in the cases of these rapes, murders, kidnappings, etc., but they should never have taken place at all, because this individual should never have been here. It's not as though you or I committed a crime and it's terrible, but also you and I were already living in the country, so it's not unlikely that a citizen of the United States would commit a crime in the United States. But it is a very bitter pill for the American public to swallow when someone who is not supposed to be here not only got into the country illegally and often was given a free bus ride by Border Patrol to a place of transportation, like a transportation hub such as San Diego, but then they committed crimes on top of it that hurt American citizens.
Perhaps the last situation that had a dramatic impact on the presidential race was the October 7th attack that occurred, Hamas attacking in Israel here. Tony, this issue, the Israeli-Hamas war, what impact do you see that having on President Biden? It appears that it's somewhat dividing his base.
Well, it's dividing his base because, again, when you have an intersectional coalition that is built up of the merits of things that don't matter, your color, what nationality you are, what sex you're attracted to, or whatever it is that you like to wear, you know, things that do not have any bearing on your skills, your abilities, things that define things like character, you end up having to play the servant to the whims of individuals who think that some colors, genders, expressions, what have you, matter more than others. And so that's really the issue of his base divide, is that he has a radical Shia fundamentalist Islamic core in places like Dearborn, Michigan, who very much despise Israel. He has a young Marxist socialist core at a lot of universities with Generation Z and I-Alpha behind them that also act in that same manner and hatred toward Israel, mainly because of an anti-capitalist reason. And then you have his other demographic cores, like a lot of the secular Jewish individuals who would more align with 90s labor Democrats and early aughts social democracy. And it creates a lot of contention. But the key issue with the Israel-Hamas war is that President Biden has openly allowed America to look horribly weak on the national stage. And even so, Americans internationally have paid the price for it with their lives. I wrote an article about 11 U.S. embassies being evacuated during his administration. That is a record number. So it's not just Israel. We have a nation in which we were told the adults were back in charge under his administration. And instead, it appears that we've gotten the opposite.
We have been talking with Tony Kinnett, who is an investigative columnist with the Daily Signal. Also, you can hear him weeknights on WIBC-FM in Indianapolis, Indiana. Tony, tell us a bit about the Daily Signal. Where can folks go to read your writings?
You can read all of our stuff over at dailysignal.com. We are an organization that reports a lot of news. We kind of try to give Americans a glimpse into what's going on with the Capitol Hill, as well as other key issues around the country. We have some excellent analysis and commentary, some really solid stuff from an amazing crew, Mary Margaret Olihan's work, Jarrett Stettman, Tyler O'Neill, Virginia Allen. Just consider an all-star crew that I am very honored and humbled to be a part of that produces some of the best work in news and reporting today that I wouldn't say I'm more than happy to brag about them, but you'll never hear them brag about themselves. It's not an ego-driven crew. We're just very passionate about giving Americans what it is that they need to read.
Tony Kinnett of the Daily Signal. Tony, thank you for taking time to be with us.
Thank you very much for having me.